Kurt, I wanted to start with a question. You know, you're not just down there, you know, just freeloading, hanging out, going to the media room or anything like that. You actually had some work to do. The AD's able to get together. You know, what is it like when you get all you guys together in a room and, you know, you try and hammer out some of these questions that we bug you about all year?
Well, the first thing that's nice is it's, you know, it is an opportunity to get everybody together because they're all down here at the same time. So it's an organized meeting in that, you know, everybody's down here for the tournament. So it makes no sense for us not to meet. So it's convenient for everybody and they're already down here. And we met, Tuesday morning for a good 3 or 4 hours, you know, talking a lot of different topics. Certainly one of the bigger discussions was, you know, the media contract and the game times and the kick times and television and, you know, what we may want to try to start to think about as we go into the negotiation process over the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. And we can be ready for that so that when it is up in 2019, you know, the league has a fairly good idea on, you know, where we want to go and how we want to move forward. And then usually it's just a lot of discussion about policies and procedures, making sure everybody's on the same page. If there's something maybe we need to look at changing. We talked a little about basketball scheduling and, you know, really probably more than anything, it's nice to just come down here and talk to everybody else and really have a true understanding that we're all facing the same challenges and that we all have the same goal at the end of the day, and that's to make the league better. And so it's always good to get together with all those folks.
Kurt, what are the talking points when you guys sit down and talk about the media contracts, the game, and the kick times?
Yeah.
I know this conversation's early, and you're going to have a lot more, and it's going to evolve over time, but what are the talking points as we sit now?
Well, I think the first one is just sharing the frustrations, you know, that all the schools have. Obviously, ours is probably a little bigger of a frustration because we play the most night games out of anybody in the conference, and so we certainly talk about what our challenges are, what we can do as a league to get better, and then maybe, you know, how we want to go forward, because there's 3 or 4 things I think you need to consider when you're having those discussions. Number one is anyone or everybody comfortable with those game times, which we're certainly not, but you've also, I think, got to be cognizant of the amount of money that's given to the conference and distributed amongst the schools, and that's obviously important, and then you want to take care of your fans and try to make it as convenient as you can. And so you start to look at going forward, and, you know, you don't want to give up the money, but you also don't want to play late. And there's got to be kind of a happy medium, Mike. And that's kind of where we start, really. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that we've got to try and do something different, knowing that maybe we can't play all the games at the ideal times, but at the same time, we want to remain, you know, financially stable with our current contract. And so it's a balancing act. And as times change, you know, you've got much more of the digital world and how people are actually watching these games, whether they're watching it on their phone or their iPad, or they've actually got a, you know, some type of cable service at their house where they're watching it on TV. And you take into account, you know, that the younger folks are probably tuning in more from their cellular capabilities, and then maybe the, you know, the older group of fans that still like to just turn on the TV and watch the game. So it's really trying to please everybody without losing the revenue that comes into the conference, and that's really what the discussion is kind of based around.
Speaking of that revenue, Boise State football obviously has an arrangement with ESPN in terms of, you know, financial bonuses based on networks and game times and all that kind of stuff. It's always been kind of a, at least from my point of view, a little bit of a bone of contention with the other members in the conference, and the TV is changing right before our very eyes. As you continue to negotiate this moving forward, do you anticipate having that exact same kind of arrangement, an offshoot of that arrangement, or do you see it going away completely?
Well, I don't see it going away completely. And as you know, Mike, in our agreement, you know, we have some say in this, and I think we've got to try to take care of Boise State as much as possible, but I also think we've got to take into consideration what's best for our league overall. And that's a balancing act. You know, it really is. I mean, at the end of the day, we had a chance to leave the conference, and then when we had the opportunity to get back into the conference, you know, there was some negotiations done and Boise State set it up how it stands today. And, you know, we obviously are very fortunate of that, and we don't want to lose control, but I think we also, you know, want to make sure that we do what we can on our side to help out the league so that the league remains strong. And, you know, we've got to find that middle ground to do that.
Athletic Director Kurt Apsey, our guest here on Idaho Sports Talk. It's Ask the AD, currently in Las Vegas for the Mountain West Conference basketball tournament. You know, Kurt, it's very possible by the time we get off the air, Boise State will be the only school left that has both its men's and its women's team eligible in the tournament. Are you, you know, you walk around with your chest puffed out a little bit here. They've represented the university well.
Well, I certainly do on the women's side. You know, I don't know if I've seen two better women's college basketball games, the New Mexico game the night before, and then obviously last night against the number one seed. So just really proud of our staff and our girls. And, you know, they're fired up. The opportunity is there for them to take, and they're excited about playing tomorrow. And, you know, hopefully, they can come away with a victory. And if, I'm not going to, you know, it's nice to be down here on Thursday and have both of your teams still in this thing. And, you know, hopefully, our men can do the same thing tonight against a very good San Diego State team. And I'm hopeful that, tomorrow morning we still got both of our teams here.
Kurt, what about, you know, we ask you a lot of hard questions. This is an easy one for you. Your women's programs from fall to winter going into spring might be having the most successful season in school history. We know the volleyball team went to the NCAAs. We know the cross country and track team has one of the bright young stars. You know, basketball, softball, swimming and diving. It's been a very successful season for your women's athletic teams. What do you see as the difference here?
Well, first of all, we got great coaches, Mike. You and I have had that conversation on the air over the past month. And I think what we've been able to do is just gradually, as best we can, provide those coaches the resources, you know, necessary. And I think the other good thing, too, is we've had some stability in those sports. You know, Gordy's been around for a long time. Jeremy Kipp is completing his third season. Corey Immels obviously has been here for 3 or 4 years from Iowa State. Sean Garris has just finished his 7th year. And, you know, sometimes it takes a while. And if you get the right coaches in the right places and they continue to kind of change that culture and get it going in the right direction, you know, good things happen. We haven't had a lot of turnover. You know, in a matter of fact, for all of our sports, not a lot of turnover. So I think they enjoy working at Boise State. I think they know that, at least from my office, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that they have what they need to enjoy success like this. And I think that stability has a lot to do with it. And, you know, for whatever reason, they like it here. And like I said, I think if you asked them, they would tell you that, you know, this administration does what they can to just kind of raise that bar a little much every year so that they can do what they need to do. And, I would love to sit here and take all the credit, but we have good coaches, and they're bringing the right kind of kids into Boise State, and that hard work over the years is paying off. So it's been awesome to sit back and watch that.
Ask the AD with Kurt Apsey, Will Heneke, Mike Prater, JP here. The men's basketball team playing tonight, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth or assume facts not in evidence, so to speak, but it seems pretty clear that if the Boise State men would like to keep playing in the postseason, they will, whether it's, you know, winning the tournament in the NCAA, the NIT, one of those alphabet soup tournaments. It seems like that opportunity is there for them. What about with the women? What happens if things don't go as planned tomorrow afternoon and they don't win the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament? There aren't as many options on the women's side.
No, there really isn't. You know, Gordy and I, and then Leon and I, we really don't discuss this much, especially when we're sitting down here both alive. We've got one goal right now for both of these programs, and that's to get an automatic berth. And obviously the women right now are a lot closer to doing that. You know, I would say on the women's side, you know, obviously a victory tonight puts us where we want to be, but if we weren't able to be successful tomorrow, I still think the WNIT is a very big possibility. I mean, they'll be 24-8, and you know, that's a lot of wins. In fact, I think if Gordy wins tomorrow, that'd be the first time we've ever won 25 games. So I think we're on the radar. I think our RPI has continued to move up. It certainly is going to take a jump after beating Colorado State yesterday. So I still think that the WNIT is a very, very big possibility for the women. And, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. In terms of the postseason, we've shared our interest with most of those tournaments, have not committed to any of them. And when the time comes for us to make a decision, I'll sit down with both coaches and we'll decide what we're going to do next.
We've asked you this question every week in the last couple of weeks about the men and the postseason possibilities, and it's always been, let's see the season play out. And you've also kind of hinted that you're not really interested in maybe the bottom two tournaments. Has your strategy developed at all in terms of the men and their postseason plans moving forward?
You know, Mike, it kind of depends really on where Coach Rice and the players stand. And I'm not talking about the NIT or obviously the NC2A tournament, but the CBI and, you know, the possibility of this Vegas 16. And I don't think right now they're even sure that's going to happen. I don't know if anything has been said publicly, but I just haven't heard much about it. So, you know, for us, I think we sit down right when we're done and we start talking about that, because we've got, you know, probably a good 48 hours to make a decision, because those other teams have to wait until all the teams are chosen for those two top tournaments. And it comes down to whether or not, you know, our coaches think that our team wants to play anymore, because if you guys remember, this is probably the longest basketball season we've had because of our Costa Rica trip. So these guys have played a lot of basketball over the last 7 or 8 months. I think a lot of times the coach will maybe want to play an extra game or get some extra practices because we have a young team, which we do. But these guys have been grinding, you know, since the summertime. And so I don't know right now. We'll be ready to pull the trigger if it's something we're really interested in. And like I said, we have expressed interest to those people that have reached out to us, but at this point we've made no commitments to go to either one of those on both the men and the women's side.
Last week we talked about the importance of this basketball tournament to the conference. You know, it's supposed to be, and it's designed to be a moneymaker and a financial boost to all the members in the conference. UNLV has been bounced early. You know, I'm not sure these other teams are supporting the tournament maybe like they have in the past. What kind of vibe do you see down there, and is there any concern about the future of butts in the seats and ticket sales for the Mountain West tournament?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, there's a big concern. Right now, ticket sales are definitely down. And at the end of the day, you know, the conference brings in a certain amount of money for the tournament, and then they obviously shell out expenses to cover the teams to come here. And at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, whatever's left of the money that's in the black, it's divided up amongst the teams. And so when you're not selling as many tickets as you have in the previous years, that becomes a concern, where, you know, you certainly don't want it to cost schools any money, but the revenue side from this particular tournament this year is certainly going to be down in comparison to past years.
Athletic Director Kurt Apsey, Ask the AD every Thursday. I know you got to get running along, but we appreciate you taking a few minutes to jump in with us from Las Vegas.
All right, fellas. Hey, I appreciate the time. Go Broncos, and hopefully if we have a conversation tomorrow, it's about two teams still alive, so I appreciate it.